Good morning, everyone. I want to continue the series, the Right Battle series. And today, part four is Battle of the Mind, Battle of the Mind. The main text is from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And the church said, amen. Amen. This passage is talking about spiritual battle, because in this passage, the words that's used is waging war. You know, it's talking about weapons, fight, stronghold, demolishing, you know, taking captives. But the spiritual battle that this passage is talking about is not a spiritual battle that's going on over a nation, in the media, in the government, or in politics. But it's a spiritual battle in the territory of our mind. The spiritual battle that happens in the territory of our mind. And in this passage, verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments, right? And every pretensions is an area of our mind that set us up against the knowledge. Again, it's about the territory of our mind, the knowledge of God. And we take captive. What do we take captive? Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The greatest spiritual battle that happens is in the territory of our mind. When there's conflict in our mind, it's not just biology, it's not neurons and synaptic pathway and chemicals. There is an unseen battle, a spiritual battle, in our mind. And as a Christian, we're called to win that battle of our mind. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6, if we could turn to it. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6. Romans 8, verse 5 to 6. It says this, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desire. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit," and it's the capital S, Holy Spirit, "have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." You know, the word mind is mentioned four times in this, you know, two verses. It's mentioned four times. And it's also talking about the flesh. And what is the flesh? The Bible describes the flesh as our sinful nature. And sometimes the Bible calls it the earthly nature, the flesh. And the devil influences our flesh, our sinful nature, the earthly nature. And when the Bible talks about dying to yourself, okay, that self means the flesh, dying to your flesh. It is talking about, you know, dying to that sinful nature, that earthly nature. And it's very clearly, you know, taught in Colossians chapter 3, if you study that passage, is that, you know, that we have risen with Christ, but we have also died with Christ. And with our flesh, our earthly nature, we have died. We have died. This passage in Romans 8 is saying that our mind can be governed, it can be controlled by the flesh, which is demonic, okay? Or it can be governed by the Holy Spirit. And this passage says the mind governed by the flesh is death, right? Is death. And again, that's the devil. He comes to destroy and to kill, is death. But the mind governed by the Holy Spirit is life and peace, is life and peace. When we see the, you know, as a Christian, I think we're pretty good at identifying the flesh, the earthly nature, the sinful nature in others. You know, we're pretty good at it. And so we get upset about, we point it out, and we go against it when we see it. We see the flesh in the government. We see the flesh among leadership, in the media, in the school. And as a Christian, we point it out. We get upset about it. We go against it. We battle it, right, as a Christian. But when it comes to the battle of our mind, when there's a sinful thought, worldly thought, fleshly thought, when there's lies in our mind, when there's shameful thoughts, we don't put up any resistance. We don't put up any resistance. Because our attitude is, hey, because I thought it, it must be true. We never question it. We never resist it. We don't battle it. We just agree with it and we accept it. Bible says no. That's not what the Bible says we should do. We need to take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. The Bible tells us that we need to battle. We need to take the battle of our mind seriously. Take captive every thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. So that's the first point. Number one, take captive every thought. You know, there's two voices. Again, you know, Romans talk about, you know, governed by the flesh and governed by the spirit. There's this two voices that we hear in our mind. The mind that's governed by the flesh, you know, we think is the thoughts that come is offense, depressive thoughts, shameful thoughts, condemning thoughts, is lies, is bitter root, is hopelessness. But the mind that's governed by the Holy Spirit, this is the mind of God. It thinks about truth, grace, mercy, love, joy, peace, goodness. We think about forgiveness, forgiving, with hope, faith. We think about the new life, not the old, about the power of God, about transforming, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to stop listening to the voice of the flesh in our mind. Stop listening to the lies, the accusation, the darkness. Stop listening to the voice of that voices that accuse us, that demeans us. Stop going back to the same accusation, the same mistake, the shame, the rejection, and the lies. Don't go back to it again and again and again. The Bible talks about holding this new wine that God gives us. The new wine is what the Holy Spirit, what the work that the Holy Spirit does in us, the new wine. And to hold the new wine, the Bible says you need new wineskin. You can't put new wine in the old wineskin. To hold the life that God has for us, you need to renew your mind. You need to renew your mind. Romans chapter 2, verse 2. Renew your mind, and then you'll be transformed. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the people of God sent out 12 scouts to explore the promised land, the land of Canaan. And after they explored, they came back with their report. 10 of the 12, their report was this. The people living there are too powerful. Their cities are too large and fortified. There are giants in the land. And then they said, we can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. They will devour us. Next to them, we are grasshoppers. That was the 10 of the 12, but two scouts that went out that saw the same thing, okay? They saw the same thing. They didn't go to somewhere else. They saw the same thing. Two scouts that explored the land with the other 10. This is what they said. Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Again, all 12 saw the same thing. 10, we can't. 10, their report was, we can't. It's impossible. We will be devoured. We are too weak. Joshua and Caleb, the two other scouts, you know what they said? God is with us. Let's go. We can do it. We will win. The 10th scout, I was thinking about the 10th scout that says, you know, we can't do it. You know, they were looking with the old wineskin. What's that old wineskin? That old wineskin is this filter from the past, this old filter. They were looking at the present with this old filter, but they were also looking at the future with this old filter. Right? The 10th scout who gave the bad report seen through this old filter. What was this old filter? See, what they experienced in the past was bondage in Egypt, the difficulties in the wilderness. And, you know, what they were looking through was the filter of complaining spirit and lack of faith. They did not see what God was doing. They said, you know, in the wilderness, you know what they said? You brought us, they were saying this to God, you brought us out to the wilderness to kill us, to starve us to death, to die in the wilderness. And they couldn't see the truth. And what was the truth? Because they were looking with the old filter. If they saw the truth, God spent 40 years to raise up Moses to be the deliverer. God sent plagues of blood, frogs, lice, flies, cattle, you know, flies on cattle, boils and sore, hail, locusts, darkness, death of the firstborn in Egypt. All these things God did to set them free. God split the Red Sea and destroyed the Egyptian army. In the morning, there was manna, and at night, there was quail to eat. But they said, you brought us out into the desert to starve us to death. No, because they couldn't see what God was doing because they were looking with old wineskin. They were looking with old filter. God was leading them to the promised land. The wilderness was a preparation to equip them. Why? When they went into the promised land, they could conquer the promised land. That was the truth. That was what God was doing. As I was thinking about that, as I was preparing this message, you know, I was kind of looking back to the most difficult time of my life. Different seasons that was difficult. And what I try to do is I try to stop looking with old filter. Right? There are several things in my life that, you know, I would look at it with the old filter and look at the hardest time of my life. And I try to stop looking from filter of hurt, filter of rejection, filter of shame. And you know what? I start to see that God did some of the greatest work in me during that time. During that time. I saw the plagues that God sent to vindicate me. I saw his provision. I saw the transformation. I saw how I grew in leadership. I saw how I grew in my relationship with him during the most difficult time of my life. Right? This happens a lot. You know, two people walk into the church on the same day. Say two people walk into our church, Catalyst, on the same day. They sing the same song. Okay? They hear the same message. One person says, this church is not friendly enough. People, I felt like people were judging me there. This church is all about money. I'm not going to come back to this church. A second person, again, same day, same songs, the same message. They saw the same people. But then another person, this is the friendliest church I've ever been to. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is moving in this church. You know, sign me up. You know, I want to be a member of this church. What's going on? One is looking through old filter. Old filter, a past hurt, past rejection, past disappointment, past abuse. Catalyst, you know, our theme passage for our church is, you know, Acts 1:8, and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. First, the Holy Spirit comes on you to work in Jerusalem, the Bible says, in Jerusalem. Not the ends of the earth first, but Jerusalem. See, in our church, to reach the ends of the earth is about the Holy Spirit touching Jerusalem. Holy Spirit touching our heart, our soul, our emotion, our mind, our will. It is not about discipling others, but first we get discipled. It's not about healing others, but we get healed. It's not about teaching about peace, but we have God's peace in our heart. It's not about talking to others about joy, but there is joy in our heart. Once we have that joy in our heart, we can share it with others. Because one of the spiritual principles I've been teaching here again and again is that we can't give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. If there's no healing, we can't heal others. If there's no peace, we can't give peace to other people. If there's no joy, we can't give others joy. If there's no love, we can't give others love. And the barrier to our heart, you know what the barrier is? It's our old thoughts, the old filters. And the Bible's calling you and I, take captive every thought that set itself up against God. My challenge to you and my challenge to myself, resist the old thoughts. Resist the old thoughts. Overcome the old thoughts. Know this, that the Lord can touch your pain, your rejection, shame, hurt, and abuse. The Lord was not waiting for his people in the promised land. The Lord was with his people in the wilderness. That's why there was a pillar of cloud in the daytime that led them, a pillar of fire at night. God was trying to show his people, I'm with you 24 hours a day, every day, when you're weak, when you're strong, when you're doing good, when you're not doing good, I'm with you. Point number two. Number one, take captive every thought. Number two, know you have divine power to demolish stronghold. Okay? It was kind of long. I didn't know how to shorten it. Okay? Know that you have divine power to demolish stronghold. Okay? The Bible says that you and I have divine power. You know, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold. You know, when something is true, God shows it again and again and again in the Bible. And to me, David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is teaching on this divine power, teaching us about divine power. You look at Goliath, and the Bible describes Goliath as a Philistine, an ancient enemy of God's people. He was 9 feet tall, okay, 9 feet tall. He was so strong, he was able to carry armor that weighed 125 pounds. His armors weighed 125 pounds. Just his spearhead, the spearhead alone was 15 pounds. The Bible says he was immoral, he was uncircumcised, and he always attacked Israel. He defied Israel relentlessly for 40 days. It says morning and night, he relentlessly shamed the army of Israel. So when I gave you this description, it's giving a description about what God's people, the army of Israel, went through as a spiritual battle. Because the description of Goliath is a description of our enemy, the devil. This story is about spiritual battle because the passage, the main text says, the Bible says the weapon we fight with are not the weapons of the world. And what do you see in this chapter? Saul gave David the weapons of this world, the coats of armor, the bronze helmet, his sword. And what does the Bible say? The devil could not use that. David could not use that. David could not use them. Instead, David faced Goliath with divine power. It was not a slingshot. David tossed so that we don't mistake it for a slingshot, you know, what everybody, you know, focuses on. David says to us, it's divine power. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you down. It was divine power that David relied upon. And he says, all those gathered here, well, no. See, this is what he wanted people to know. Not the slingshot. Right? All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hand. Saul and the army hid in caves because they didn't understand that they too had divine power when they saw Goliath. But there was only one boy among the army of Israel who understand and who believed that he had divine power, and that was David. And it wasn't the conventional weapon, but he was able to face Goliath because of the divine power that he has. So church, John chapter 4, verse 4. This is you. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is Jesus telling us, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. And again, don't go to the beach, you know, start trampling on those, you know, scorpions or backyard snake. That's not what it's talking about. The devil represents a serpent. It's represented by the serpent. Okay? He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all. And then in context, again, it shows us in context. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. I have given you authority, divine power to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. The power of the enemy. And I want us to proclaim as a church, I want us to proclaim 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The one who is in me, in you, is greater than the one who is in the world. And the church said, amen. Okay, let's pray. We are all born into a broken world. You and I, we didn't ask for all this battle. But I want to share and encourage you the good news. As a Christian, you're born to win the battles. To win the battles. Take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit for divine power to overcome every thought. That sets us up against God. Every thought. Start proclaiming, I will not be governed by the flesh or any demonic power. My mind will be governed by the Holy Spirit, who gives me life and peace. Let's pray for one another. Renew our mind, O God. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will know God's will, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Start practicing right now, again in the wilderness. And can you imagine at the promised land, at the border of the promised land, they were supposed to go into the promised land. 10 saw just all the giant, the fortified cities. They saw themselves as grasshopper and they gave a bad report. You can't go. But there's two that saw the same thing. God is with us. We can take that land. This land is ours. We can conquer it. We'll prevent it. You know, because after that incident, if you read the Bible, they were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because the people of God rebelled against God. 40 years later, only 2 men made it into the promised land, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Because they chose not to see with old wineskin, not to think with old filter. But they chose to see with new wineskin, with new eyes. Not the filter of hurt and shame and rejection and immorality, lust, but new wineskin to hold a new wine so that we will know God's will. We will do the will of God. Let's take captive right now, tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Take captive all the old thoughts, the wrong thoughts, the lies. Let's take captive. And release that divine power that's in you. You know what we're supposed to use that divine power for? Not to use it as a platform so that you get applause from people. We're supposed to use that divine power, the Bible says, to demolish every stronghold. Demolish every stronghold. So any wrong thoughts that has set up a stronghold in our mind become like what David said, we come in the name of the Lord. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strengthen them. We're going to win the battle of the mind through the divine power of God. We're going to win. Okay. Take a moment to dedicate yourself to the Lord. And then we're going to do the communion. And then we're going to worship together and conclude the service.